Good morning. Considering how many people within Christendom teach that an individual can be saved merely by professing a belief in Christ, it is not surprising that skeptics claim that the Bible contradicts itself in this regard. Although Peter and Paul declared, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved," in Acts 2:21 and Romans 10:13, skeptics quickly remind their readers that Jesus once stated, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 7:21. Allegedly, Matthew 7:21 clashes with such passages as Acts 2:21 and Romans 10:13. Since many professed Christians seem to equate calling on the name of the Lord with the idea of saying to Jesus, "Lord, save me," Bible critics feel even more justified in their pronouncement of conflicting testimonies. How can certain professed followers of Christ claim that they were saved by simply calling on the name of the Lord, when Christ himself proclaimed that a mere calling upon him would not save a person? The key to correctly understanding the phrase, calling on the name of the Lord, is to recognize that more is involved in this action than a mere verbal petition directed toward God. The call mentioned in Acts 2:21 and Romans 10:13 and Acts 22:16, where Paul was calling on the name of the Lord, is not equated with the call, "Lord, Lord," Jesus spoke of in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7:21. First, it is appropriate to mention that even in modern times, to call on someone frequently means more than simply making a request for something. When a doctor goes to the hospital to call on some of his patients, he does not merely walk into the room and say, "I just wanted to come by and say hello. I wish you the best, now pay me." On the contrary, he involves himself in a service. He examines the patient, listens to the patient's concerns, gives further instructions regarding the patient's hopeful recovery, and then oftentimes prescribes medication. All of these elements may be involved in a doctor calling upon a patient. In the mid-20th century, it was a common thing for a young man to call on a young lady. Again, this expression meant something different than just making a request. Second, when an individual takes the time to study how the expression calling on God is used throughout Scripture, the only reasonable conclusion to draw is that, just as similar phrases sometimes have a deeper meaning in modern America, the expression calling on God often had a deeper meaning in Bible times. Take, for instance, Paul's statement recorded in Acts 25:11. Paul said, "I appeal unto Caesar." The word "appeal" is the same word translated "call" or "calling" in Acts 2:21, Acts 22:16, and Romans 10:13. But Paul was not simply saying, "I'm calling on Caesar to save me." As James Bales noted, Paul, in appealing to Caesar, was claiming the right of a Roman citizen to have his case judged by Caesar. He was asking that his case be transferred to Caesar's court, and that Caesar hear and pass judgment on his case. In so doing, he indicated that he was resting his case on Caesar's judgment. In order for this to be done, Paul had to submit to whatever was necessary in order for his case to be brought before Caesar. He had to submit to the Roman soldiers who conveyed him to Rome. He had to submit to whatever formalities or procedures Caesar demanded of those who came before him. All of this was involved in his appeal to Caesar. Paul's calling to Caesar involved his submission to him. That, in a nutshell, wrote T. Pierce Brown, is what calling on the Lord involves, obedience. It is not a mere verbal recognition of God, or a verbal petition to him. Those whom Paul, before his conversion to Christ, sought to bind in Damascus were Christians who were described as people who call on your, Jehovah's, name. They were not people who only prayed to God, but those who were serving the Lord and who, by their obedience, were submitting themselves to his authority. Matthew 28:18, "And Jesus spoke and said unto them, All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Interestingly, Zephaniah 3:9 links one's calling with his service. "For then I will restore the people a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord." When a person submits to the will of God, he actually can be described as calling on the Lord. Acts 2:21 and Romans 10:13, among other passages, do not contradict Matthew 7:21, because to call on the Lord entails more than just pleading for salvation. It involves submitting to God's will. That's why Jesus adds to his statement, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven," in Matthew 7:21, this statement, "But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." According to Colossians 3:17, every single act a Christian performs, in word or deed, should be carried out by Christ's authority. For a non-Christian receiving salvation, there is no different. In order to obtain salvation, a person must submit to the Lord's authority. This is what the passage in Acts 2:21 and Romans 10:13 are teaching. It is up to us to go elsewhere in the New Testament to learn how to call upon the name of the Lord. After Peter quoted the prophecy of Joel and told those in Jerusalem on Pentecost that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, Acts 2:21, he told them how to go about calling on the name of the Lord. The people in the audience in Acts 2 did not understand Peter's question of Joel to mean that an alien sinner must pray to God for salvation. Their question in Acts 2:37, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" indicates such. Furthermore, when Peter responded to their question and told them what to do to be saved, he did not say, "I've already told you what to do. You can be saved by petitioning God for salvation through prayer. Just call on his name." On the contrary, Peter had to explain to them what it meant to call on the name of the Lord. Instead of repeating this statement, when the crowd sought further guidance from the apostles, Peter commanded them, saying, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." Acts 2:38. Peter's non-Christian listeners learned that calling on the name of the Lord for salvation was equal to obeying the gospel, which approximately 3,000 did that very day by repenting of their sins and being baptized into Christ. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. Verse 38. In verse 41 we read, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved." But what about Romans 10:13? What is the call mentioned in this verse? Notice Romans 10:11-15. "For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be ashamed. And there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Although this passage does not define precisely what is meant by calling on the name of the Lord, it does indicate that an alien sinner cannot call until after he has heard the word of God and believed it. Such was meant by Paul's rhetorical questions, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard?" Paul's statement in this passage are consistent with Peter's proclamation in Acts 2. It was only after the crowd on Pentecost believed in the resurrected Christ, whom Peter had preached, as is evident by their being cut to the heart and their subsequent question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" that Peter told them how to call on the name of the Lord and be saved, Acts 2:38. Perhaps the clearest description of what is meant for an alien sinner to call on the name of the Lord is found in Acts 22. As the Apostle Paul addressed the mob in Jerusalem, he spoke of his encounter with the Lord, whom he asked, "What shall I do?" Acts 22:10 and Acts 9:6. The answer Jesus gave him at that time was not, "Call on the name of the Lord." Instead, Jesus instructed him to arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. Acts 22, verse 10. Paul, or Saul, in Acts 13:9, demonstrated his belief in Jesus as he went into the city and waited for further instructions. In Acts 9, we learn that during the next 3 days, while waiting to meet with Ananias, Paul fasted and prayed, verses 9 and 11. Although some today might consider what Paul was doing at this point as calling on the name of the Lord, Ananias, God's chosen messenger to Paul, did not think so. He did not tell Paul, "I see you've already called on God. Your sins are forgiven." After 3 days of fasting and praying, Paul still was lost in his sins. Even though he obviously believed at this point and had prayed to God, he had yet to call on the name of the Lord for salvation. When Ananias finally came to Paul, he told him, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22:16. Ananias knew that Paul had not yet called on the name of the Lord, just as Peter knew that those on Pentecost had not done so before his command to repent and be baptized. Thus, Ananias instructed Paul to be baptized and wash away your sins. The participle phrase, calling on the name of the Lord, describes what Paul was doing when he was baptized for the remission of his sins. Every non-Christian who desires to call on the name of the Lord to be saved does so not simply by saying, "Lord, Lord," Matthew 7:21, or just by wording a prayer to God, but by obeying God's instructions to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Thus, the skeptic's allegation that Matthew 7:21 contradicts Acts 2:21 and Romans 10:13 is unsubstantiated, and the professed Christian who teaches that all one must have to do to be saved is just to say a sinner's prayer is in error. If we can help you be obedient to the will of God, please let us know. We ask you this morning to truly call on the name of the Lord by submitting to Him and obeying His will. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.